listening to audio from Grace Hills Church in Aliso Viejo, California. For more information, visit us online at gracehills.com.
Amen. How are you guys doing this morning? It's good to see you. My name is Justin Wyckoff. I'm the youth pastor here at Grace Hills Church. And today I'm excited to tell you we are starting a new series, kind of a little mini series. It is called Faithfully Blank. And the reason this series came about is we were just thinking through the people at our church and how to serve them best. And we know we have a lot of people that are married, and we always want to make sure that we're feeding you guys because marriage is important. It's one of the foundations of a church and of a church family. And so we want to make sure we talk about marriage. We want to make sure we also talk about singleness because there are a lot of people here that are single, old and young. And so we want to make sure we're feeding you and how to faithfully handle singleness. And then we felt like the core of both of those things in every relationship you have starts with friendship. And so when we were in the staff meeting, we're thinking through this and planning it out, me, Mike, and David, and I had said, I was like, well, I've only been married for 5 years, so I don't think that qualifies me to preach on marriage yet. And David said, well, I've been dating for a whole 2 months, so I don't think I'm qualified to talk on singleness. So we worked it out. I'm preaching on friendship. David's preaching on singleness, and Mike's preaching on marriage. Perfect, right? Everyone got their way. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about friendship. And I want to start with a kind of an off-the-wall question here. When you think of the book of Romans, what comes to mind? And you guys can feel free to shout them out. Oh my goodness, I don't understand anything being said. The law? What else? Gospel, justification, spirit, yeah. The book of Romans is heavy on theology. It is, Martin Luther called it the purest of gospels, but it is overcompassing, it's deep theology, it's heady. Every theologian has some sort of battle that they have had to fight in the book of Romans in its interpretation. And that's what it's known for in the church. And that's how I knew it growing up. But then a couple months ago, I read Romans 16 and something really stuck out to me as a pastor. And that's that I related to this chapter because in this, and you'll see it in the next slide, I'm just going to show you, we don't have to read through it. I would butcher every single name mentioned anyway, but you can pull up the slide. Oh, also the timer, if you could start that for me, please. As you can see, it's not highlighted very bright on these monitors, but there are highlights for everyone mentioned, and there are 28 people mentioned. So Paul, he ends this big theological deep treatise, and then he greets 28 people in Rome that he knows, his friends, that he cared enough to be like, and that ended up in our Bibles. And sometimes when we think of Romans, we only think about all the deep theology, but we don't think about this is a man who gave his life to multiple friendships and caring for multiple people. Behind every name is some story, big or small, of a friendship. And if we lose sight of that, we lose everything. And by the way, it's not just this book. He does this with every one of his letters. They're all letters, right? And all of them he greets people. If you count all the people he greets, it's about 80 different people that he's greeting. That's a lot of friends. And that's just the ones that he greeted personally in the letter. There's 100 more that we know that were associated with Paul. There's thousands he influenced in his day. There's billions he's influenced in ours. Paul had a lot of friends. When I get to heaven someday, I hope to shake his hand and be like, man, I learned a lot from you. How God used you. So that stood out to me. And that's not just trivia. Oh, there's 80 people. It's his testimony. That's Paul's relational life on display as an example for us. That's the heart of a minister. That's the heart of a Christian. And so today, as we talk about how do we be faithful in our friendships, right? Even people that aren't believers can have a friendship, but how is we as Christians be faithful in our friendships? And a lot of what we talk about today is going to be assuming that the other person is also a Christian and how to grow deeper in our faithful friendships. We're also going to talk about how to be wide with faithful friendships. And lastly, we're going to remember that faithful friendships are forever. So before you jump in, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for today. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and that you would help me to be comfortable and to speak your word and to make this about you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of every one of us as we evaluate our friendships, as we look for opportunities to make more for your mission and for your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, number one, faithful friendships are deep. Faithful friendships go beyond the surface. The two things I want to hit on here is that they're sharing and they're sharpening. So what we see in the Bible is that faithful friendships go a little bit deeper than that of worldly friendships. Maybe you make a coworker at work and you guys know that you both like the Mariners. And every time you talk, what do you talk about? The Mariners. And when something new happens with the Mariners, you go and tell them first, right? That's probably where your friendship is. And you kind of have those different people for those different things. And what can happen is it's hard to dig deeper into that friendship. Sometimes you're spending hours and hours with them before you can even ask that next question that reaches deeper. But in the Bible, we see in Galatians 6:2, it calls us believers to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity." And so what I want to pull out of this is that friends are meant to be there for the good times and for the bad times. For when life is easy and when life is really difficult. And some of us, maybe you're, you know, there's a lot of different boats you can be in with friendship. Maybe you feel like you have a lot of close friends and you guys have been friends forever and you're so blessed by it, and that's great. But you haven't made a new friend in a long time. Not one that deep. Maybe you have a lot of friends, but all of them are shallow and you're going through something and you don't really know if you can tell anyone and you just feel awkward trying to engage with them on that level. Or maybe you don't have friends. Maybe you just moved here and you're new and you're looking for friendships, right? Or maybe you've always struggled with that. And I'm hoping that this message will have something for each of us. But for those that are looking to take their friendships, especially their Christian ones, deeper, I want to speak to you today in this. You have to be the one that's willing to disclose. If you are going through something, it is not the responsibility of the other person to ask just the right question at just the right time. God would ask that you would confess your sins to one another, that you would make your burdens known. And not only are you willing to disclose even the really private stuff, maybe it's marital struggles, health issues, you're having a faith crisis. And also the good things too, right? Hey, I'm celebrating this. Hey, God did this awesome thing in my life. Trusting that friend's gonna be excited for you and happy. But you also gotta at the same time be that friend that's willing to ask those questions of others. Ask people to go a little bit deeper. Hey, how can I be praying for you this week? Hey man, how's your marriage going? What's God been teaching you lately? How are you really doing? We should be people that dig deep in our relationships. And now, why am I saying dig deep? Is it just because Justin, you know him as an oversharer and super transparent and he loves that stuff? Partly. But the other part is because there's a purpose that Christians have in their friendships. And that purpose for one another is to sharpen each other. That's our purpose, that we would be sharpening one another. Proverbs 27:17, as we know it, you can probably say it together, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. That's one of the heartbeats behind our men's ministry. And iron sharpening iron, that is not a frictionless activity, is it? Iron scraping upon iron, that's hard, that's difficult. That's hard conversations, that's awkward conversations, it's uncomfortable. But there's a purpose behind it, so that we would get sharper. Like David talked about a few weeks ago, that refining, right? The silver refining and being a mirror image of Christ. That's our goal in friendship. So we drive each other, purposely sharpening each other closer and closer to the image of our collective Savior, Jesus. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy." Faithful friendships aren't just about comfort. They're about growth, and that takes honesty and accountability. So to go deep in your friendships, you gotta look at, how am I sharing? Am I willing to be the first one to step into vulnerability? Trusting that if they're a believer, that God, that their heart is there, and they'll be able to take that. And the other one is, do I care about my friends deeply? Do I ask them about the deeper matters of their life, or if I'm willing to just glide the surface? Am I being purposeful in my relationships? Second point today, faithful friendships are wide. So some of us, we dig really deep with a small group of friends, but we're not very open to more. We're not very open to more friendships. We feel like our relational capacity has been met. And the thing about Romans 16 is you think about all these names, they're various different people. It's not just people just like Paul. It's not people in his exact same life stage. It's not people his same age. It's not people that are single like him. There's married people in there too. Heck, he greets entire churches here and households. Young, old, men and women, Jews and Gentiles. So his friendships were wide in the sense that he saw it profitable to be friends and have relationships with various types of people. And it is profitable. But the one thing that connects all of these people that he mentions is he says it in Romans 1:7, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's who he greets. So these friendships, he goes, hey, I know that God loves them. He shared that love with me in my heart towards you. And I know that he's calling you to something greater. That was the one thing. That's what empowers our friendships, to reach out and to greet someone. It's like God is speaking to us about them, saying, hey, this person, they are either strong Christian and needs encouragement, they're a weak Christian and needs some building up and some sharpening, or they're not even a Christian yet, but I'm putting a call on them, and I want you to step alongside them. So he was wide in the sense of a lot of people. And the other aspect of wide, I'm going to try to use an analogy. And look, I'm not, maybe someone will be like, it's a metaphor. I don't know. It's analogy, metaphor, it doesn't matter. You can tell me. I'm probably not very good at these, so you're going to have to bear with me on this. But I'm going to show you a picture, kind of get some visual of what I'm talking about. Let's say the world is drowning. Noah's Ark happens again, right? The whole world's flooded. Everyone is drowning. But there is one safe shore. One safe shore. And that shore is heaven. And you once, as an unbeliever, you were drowning. And at some point, you cried out for help and you raised your hand above the waves and someone picked you up and they plopped you in a lifeboat. And you were cold and shivering and traumatized and someone came around, they put a blanket around you, they gave you some nice warm soup and some food to eat and they got you better. And you dried off and you're better. And now we run into this problem. You got all these Christians in the boat with you, but now we're out of seats. And you have a choice to make. You can either say, all right, guys, we're saved. And you can kick back and you can let the boat drift to shore. It's comfortable. It's safe. Not going to under threat of getting wet anymore. Care for one another. Or you can say, hey, we have a purpose behind this lifeboat. And that's to save people. There's a reason there's seats here. What we need to do is we need to row hard and we need to send out more boats because there's a lot of drowning people. And we got to throw out the nets and we got to call out the name of Jesus so that they can be saved. And when we got to have someone ready to put the blanket around them when they get in, someone ready to share food with them, someone ready to teach them, to grow them. That's seeing the mission behind the boat, the thing that you've been blessed with to then carry it on. But there's only so many seats. And that's how it is with friendship. I know this analogy is getting confusing. But friendship, you only have so much relational capacity. And at some point, you're going to fill all of those seats, and you might fill them with all Christians. And so what I'm saying about being wide is being open to new friendships. And that's really hard to do because you love every person sitting with you. You love being with them. You love spending time with them. I get that. But we have to remember that this world is temporary. And so that's my next point. Faithful friendships are forever. We have to hold on to that. There's a really interesting parable in Luke 16. I don't think I have time to walk through it all the way. So I'm going to do a cursory glance of it because I want to focus on this verse, but you really probably aren't going to understand that verse unless you get the preceding parable. So I'm going to talk through it. Me and Katie ran into this. I was in my study and I was talking to her through it. She's like, I feel like I've never even read this before. I was like, I know, me too. It's weird. That's how the Bible is sometimes. I know I have, but just took on a new light. And this parable is basically about, you got a guy who works for his boss and he handles the debts of the people that are indebted to his boss. And he finds out he's about to get let go. And so what he does is he's like, I gotta get job security. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go to the people that are indebted to my boss. I'm gonna cut their debt down so they like me. And that way when I get fired, I'm gonna have someone to go to. So he goes to one guy, he says, hey, you owe my boss 100 sheep, make it 80, we have a deal. The guy goes, oh yeah, awesome, thank you. Hey, you owe 200 wheat, make it 100, we got a deal. Yeah, we got a deal. And the boss finds out, and the parable paints both of these people as pagan, unbelieving people. The boss finds out and he goes, that's very shrewd of you to do that. That's kind of clever what you did. You only had so much time left and you invested it in the future because you knew this would fade away. And what Jesus says after that in Luke 16:9, he says, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. It's a confusing verse. You're like, what do you mean unrighteous wealth? I shouldn't be touching that. What he means here is use what's temporary in order to invest in what you know is going to be eternal. Everything in this life is going to get washed away. The only thing that's going to make it back to shore is people. And what Jesus says is, we need to be wise like this manager was wise, in that he knew he only had so much time. And so he took it and invested everything he had, his time, his energy, his relationships, into people, because that's the only thing that would last once he got fired. And you need to do the same thing, Christian. You know that money, you know that your house and all parts of your life are temporary. There's a shore waiting for you that's eternal, a paradise. And so use all of those things in order to make friends. Make friends. Invest in those people that are going to head to shore. Get them there. Help them there. Because what's going to happen is you're going to come to shore and at the eternal dwelling, and they're going to greet you. And that's a reward. That's a blessing. Just like every believer that you have embraced as a brother or sister has been a blessing to you, I want you to think about, what if your next best friend is out there right now, lost? They don't know you, you don't know them, you don't know how much you love spending time with them, you don't know how much your character is so much alike, your personalities mesh so well, you don't even know that because they're out there and you haven't met them. And what if you just said, hey guys, I know we're gonna have eternity together, but there's more people out there that need to be there. Because friendships are forever. And this was the perspective that Paul had. He said this in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 through 20. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. He's saying, when I enter heaven, the biggest reward is going to be that you guys are there with me. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's the joy. And I'm not trying to detract from Jesus, and we're going to get to that point. How does that play out? Because Paul wasn't content with those 27 people he greets in Rome. No, he left them because of God's calling, and he got 60 more friendships, relationships that sharpened him, that he sharpened, that he encouraged, that he loved and cared about, and that he looked forward to having them all together in heaven with him one day. United in one thing, which is our love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us. How many of you guys are Lord of the Rings fans in here? By the way, we're already in Faithful Friendships Are Forever. Did we already cover that? Okay. By the way, we're flying through this thing. So, how many of you guys have seen Lord of the Rings? Okay, that's a more amount of hands. That's good. I'm glad. I thought about playing this scene for you, but I figured if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, you're just gonna see a wizard and a guy with pointy ears, and you're gonna be so lost, and that's okay. But if you have seen Lord of the Rings, you should know this scene. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's been 21 years. Like, you know, let's get to seeing it, man. That's, you know, that's one worth seeing. But Lord of the Rings, Frodo goes on this crazy journey, and it's super difficult, and it's a huge burden, and it's so hard. And he basically dies, and he wakes up, and there's light, sunlight behind him. He wakes up in this bed in this beautiful paradise, and he opens his eyes, and first thing he sees is a friend that he thought was dead. And he's like, Gandalf, he's so happy. And then behind him, he sees two of his buddies walk in, and they jump on the bed, and they're so excited to see each other once again, right? It's been so long, they got separated so long ago, and they're crying, and they're happy, and like, oh my gosh, you made it, everything's good now, we did it. And another friend, and like coworkers, other people that were part of the story, and it's so awesome. And then there's this beautiful moment. You guys know what it is? That last friend that walks through. Who's the last friend that walks through? You guys Lord of the Rings fans? Sam. Sam is his friend, for context, that was actually with him the entire time. Who literally bore the burden with him on his journey, who never left his side, who was there through every celebration, including this one, and every struggle, the hardest struggles of life, Sam was there. And if it weren't for Sam, Frodo wouldn't have been successful. Frodo wouldn't have made it. He needed him. And you see in this scene, as he meets Sam's eyes, his face changes from just that of great appreciation and thankfulness. It's crazy. His eyes just scream, I love you so much more because you were there and you saw it and you stayed with me throughout the whole thing. You're wondering where this another awful analogy is going. When we get to heaven, it's awesome we're going to be with our friends again. But man, when we see Jesus, we're gonna realize he was the best friend we ever had. He was there through all of it. He was there before we were even saved, when we were just drowning in the water, when we were living lives completely opposed to him, when we were enemies of God. And not only was he willing to walk the path with us through every perilous moment, he went further than us. He died for us. He was mocked and beaten for us so that he could be friends with us. And so the amount of appreciation and love that's going to well up in your heart when you see Jesus face to face is going to beat all. And all of your friends are going to feel it too. And you're all going to be united in a love and appreciation for what Christ did. Because if it wasn't for him, there would be no shore. We would have just drowned. So I know you've been looking at your sermon notes, and there's three blanks at the bottom, and you've been listening so carefully to figure out what in the world to fill those in with. As a review, faithful friendships are deep, so be real with the ones you have. Be real with the ones you have. Willing to take it on that real level of, here are the burdens of my life. What are yours? Can we pray for one another? Can we walk alongside of each other? Can we sharpen each other? Let's have the hard conversations. A friend that loves you enough to have the hard conversations, and we gotta be that people for others. Faithful friendships are wide, so be open to new people. They're wide, so be open to new people. That's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to be evangelistic. He calls us to be missional, to not forget our purpose. He made each one of you with a specific job to do within that lifeboat that is the church. But the whole church has got to be driving somewhere. We got to be picking up paddles. We got to be steering. We need someone that's going to have the cloth ready to catch the new people and dry them off. Got to have someone have the soup ready in the fellowship hall for them, right? We're all a part of it, but we can't forget that it's not about us. It's about the people that are drowning. So be wide and be open to who God's calling you to reach. The third one, friendships are forever. So there's no such thing as goodbye. Faithful friendships are forever. So there's no such thing as goodbye. This has to be what allows us to trust in God when a friend moves away, when someone passes on, especially Christians, we go, this isn't goodbye, this is just see you later on shore. We're gonna see you in heaven where it's safe. And this also is the motivation of, there might be some friends in your life that you love and they don't believe in Jesus. And what kind of friend wouldn't call out to them from a lifeboat? Friendships are forever, but that friendship won't be forever if they don't come to Christ. And so make it difficult for them. The pathway to hell should be covered in the dead bodies of Christians trying to stop people from walking that way. That's what you would want done for you. If we found out that there was heaven on earth, literally, that there was some continent and it was heaven and there was free plane tickets to get there, you wouldn't be at work with your friends being like, so I'm gonna take a flight sometime. Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah. I don't really want to talk about it though. Hey, I heard about this place where like there's not death and sickness anymore. I might check it out. I don't know. No. If heaven was on earth and there was free tickets to be there, you'd be like, guys, go to this website, buy the ticket. Let me give you all the information. I want you there. We're gonna live forever there. Hey, do not miss out. The time is limited. This offer expires soon, right? You'd be salesmen, right? That's what you would want someone to do for you, to show you all the facts and all the figures, all the information, to show you what the island looks like and how beautiful it is. That's what we'd want. Friendships are forever. Let that motivate you to reach out to the unbeliever, but also to be willing to let go of a believer for the sake of the mission. If someone feels called to somewhere, being able to say, I trust in God, we'll be together again. So let's be faithful friends. Let's go deep into the water together. Let's open our nets wide and cry out our voices for the lost. And let's remember that even if we should get separated, we'll be back on the shore someday. All thanks to Jesus and what he's done. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you decided to be friends with us. And Lord, I admit that I've forgotten the purpose behind friendships, and I've gotten too comfortable. And Lord, I haven't been looking out for the lost like I should have been. And I think there's more in this room that can confess that, Lord, but the other thing is, I just pray you would help us to be open. And Lord, for us that have all these friendships, we don't know how to tell them about you, I pray that you would embolden us and empower us. They realize there's not that much time. All of this is going to fade, Lord. So I just pray you'd put that on our hearts. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.